You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
All right, well, hello. You are listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today we're going to talk about one of my very favorite topics. You probably heard me talk about this before. It's one of the most intimate ways that you can connect with your audience, your prospects, and more importantly, your current clientele. I have with me an expert in this field who spent more than two decades, cumulatively in the space of marketing.
Well, my team and I have. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
You're looking pretty young. How could you be, you know, anyway. That was the voice of Emily McGuire, who is the founder. I don't know what other classification you go by when it comes to your ownership of Flourish and Grit, which is, I love how you phrase this, a micro marketing agency. And you specialize specifically in email marketing and all of the things that surround email marketing as well. Emily, welcome.
I'm so happy to be here.
So I mentioned before we started recording, this is indeed one of the topics I love chatting about. And you made a really interesting point before we started recording, which is that email is not dead, but, and this is the part that I'm really curious about, the way that we think about it is.
Yeah. So people love predicting the death of email. Like the hottest topic I feel like I see relevant to email all the time. But what I find is that, I mean, in my experience, it's not dead, right? I've seen it do really powerful things for, you know, businesses I've worked in and for. You know, cumulatively over my career, I've managed campaigns that have earned over $80 million in revenue. So clearly, it's not dead. Yeah. But what I find the most common mistakes I see people make with email is they think of it as direct mail, which is what it was born from. Mm-hmm. And so people think that it translates in the same way. So, you know, in the days when people would send out newsletters, right, paper newsletters with the 10 to 15 little articles about a company updates or whatever else is going on, people tend to translate that into email. And so they think that to continue to nurture their subscribers, they need to dump all this content on them. So the 5 to 10 articles in an email and what you're listening to, what you're reading, all those things that, yes, are very nice brand building kinds of content, but people don't consume content the same way anymore. We live in a world full of distractions, right? And if anything, you know, the pandemic has shown us that, yes, we live in a world full of distractions, right? Whether it's you're working from home with kids or pets or whatever it is. But people are not reading long form content with 10 million links in it, right? Instead of helping people helping guide people through the email process and building that relationship, people are just dumping content on them. And it's too many choices, right? It's overwhelming. And so this is the thing that I usually talk to people about when they're like, my emails aren't working, my newsletter isn't working. And when I go and look at it, it's just an overload of information. And so what I typically recommend to people is to think about it in much shorter condensed terms with a higher frequency. So instead of sending that one email out a month with the 10 links, think of splitting it up into 4 emails over the course of the month with smaller digestible pieces of content. Because that's how people are consuming digital media now. It has to be shorter, has to be concise. And it has to be really clear about what you want them to do, or they're not going to do it.
I love the idea of chopping up something into smaller chunks. And in fact, you could, if it was the right relationship, probably even, chop it up into 10 pieces if there's, enough interesting content for each of those links that you're sending people to, I imagine, right?
Exactly. You can slice it and dice it how many ways you want to, so you have more frequent touches in the inbox instead of like, I dumped 10 articles on them at the beginning of the month, but they didn't do anything, right? Which is what I often hear. And the thing is, if you think about it from a sales perspective, which most people, most businesses are familiar with, it takes several touches before people are ready to convert once, and then less touches if they are ready to convert again. And so really just serving that high quality, smaller chunks of content in the inbox more frequently is going to help you boost that relationship with your subscribers.
So, I know that you have experience in a bunch of different types of businesses and industries, and so I know that whatever the answer to my question is it's not going to be universal, right? It's going to depend on industry. It's going to depend on relationship. You mentioned something about frequency of email. I'm also, and that's a question I get all the time, is how often should I send something? And my answer is always, well, it depends. And then there's a long explanation after that. But what I want to understand from you is your perspective on email content. Because a moment ago, you talked about comparing it to direct mail. And I wasn't envisioning the direct mail newsletter. I was envisioning the direct mail solicitation, long form
That too, yeah.
sales letters and things like that, and where it was all sales focused, where it was, telling a long story, getting people emotionally connected with the outcome that it was being sold, etc. And so I'm curious from your perspective about content in email, sales versus non-sales content, and what non-sales content, if you recommend it, ought to be included? How do you position content that isn't directly selling?
Yeah, so I mean, what I would say is every email, whether it has, content that is supposed to help boost your authority and credibility, or if it's a more sales-focused email, they all need a call to action with how to work with you. Because, I mean, again, people can get really anxious about coming off too salesy when they're trying to nurture and provide value and content. So they forget to put in a call to action with how to work with you, and or they don't think it's appropriate. But what you're actually doing when you don't let people know how to become a customer is putting the burden on them to figure it out. So I think that if you are serving content in your email, always include an invitation for how people can become a customer at the end of the email. With the most clear instructions, right? Whether that's replying to the email, filling out a contact form, booking a short call with them, make it really, really easy for them. Because again, if you're not, you're putting that extra work on them, right? You're putting the burden on the subscriber, which, unless they are really, 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 really motivated, they're not going to go through those extra steps. So I see it as a balance, right? A balance between sales and content, because what your subscribers want is a solution to their pain points. Sometimes that comes in the form of content. Sometimes that comes in the form of your actual services. So thinking about it as a blend of those two things, maybe you have one email that's more content focused. Maybe you have another one that's more sales focus that you're sending to your leads with an invitation on how you help, and what they explicitly about how you help and how they can get your help. So it's never one way, right? It's always it, what I've seen the most success with is focusing on content maybe in one email and focusing on sales in another. And that may also depend on your segments too,
Sure.
right?
So I'm curious about your perspective on this, because this is a question I get from clients a lot when I suggest, let's not have a sales-focused email. What you're referring to is content. It might be educational. It might be entertaining. It might be something else. You know, it might be, you know, behind the scenes at our business. It might be, you know, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of commentary in my emails about things that everybody is experiencing in the world. What you know, top movie I saw on Netflix this past weekend, or you know, we just went to see the Ghostbusters movie, or something like that, and then tying it into a point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. But then people look at me and they say, well, that's great content, but how do you then transition or segue or pivot to the obligatory call to action that you just mentioned before? And, you know, I have all kinds of devices. I'm curious how you recommend doing that, or if you, you know, even like the structure that I've just described.
I mean, it depends. So, yeah, you know, for a person, when you have a brand that's really focused on a small brand, right, a small business, really showing off that human side is going to do work wonders, right? It's a really great nurturing tool and tactic. But like you said, you need to nobody's just sending out emails just to send out emails, right? You need to transition into the sales focus because, you know, you got bills to pay. And I've done it in a few ways. One is, you know, just on the sign off of the email, you know, at when you're making your final points about whatever content you're talking about, is, you know, letting people know if they want to talk about it more, either reply to the email or schedule a call. So having an invitation like that. Another tactic is what they call the power PS. That's not new to me, but, you know, it's sort of like the PS after you're done with the email with, you know, again, an invitation that if people want to take it a step further, here are three ways. And usually it's, one of those ways is, again, how to become a customer. And the other two are maybe some more nurturing steps that here's a piece of content that you can look at that we have that explains this more, or another service or product that's a mini one step up from being on your list.
Yeah, I've seen that in some emails after the signature. It'll say something like, you know, if you're ready to move forward, or if you're ready to, you know, go deeper into this topic, here are three ways I can help you. And then there's a list, right? One is book a call with me, and then a couple of other resources like you've just
exactly
mentioned.
Yeah, so
that's great.
Yeah, those are definitely two tactics. And then, you know, also experimenting with, you know, before you launch into your content, letting people know, like, hey, I'm going to get into some juicy stuff. So don't forget, if you want to talk about this more, here's how, right? So you can sort of sandwich it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not going to come off, again, people think it's going to be too pushy. This is what I hear. I don't want to be too pushy. But if it's an invitation, right, you're giving people the opportunity to opt in or out of whatever it is you want them to do. And I don't think that's pushy at all.
Well, I like that last one because you can frame it in a way that's not very pushy. I mean, it was a variation on what copywriters refer to as an open loop, where you can say, in a moment, I'm going to tell you how you can solve this problem. But first, let me tell you a story. Right. And then you get people actually going, ooh, I want to know how to solve the problem. Let me get through the story so I can get down to the call to action that you promised.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah. That's and it's something I do as well for speaking gigs too. Mm-hmm. If any people are in speaking gigs, like, we're going to get into the content, but first, so you know, you can get these slides if you go to this website. And that's how I get more email addresses too. So.
All right, so let's transition to this, because you just mentioned list building, and I imagine that just like the what do I email, and I don't want to be too pushy, there are probably a lot of questions you get about how do I get people on the list in the first place.
Yeah. The best way to hurt your email list is to start just adding people who never gave you permission to email them in the first place. It's a real brand burner. Like, people do not like that. And it's also a little disorienting. You just start getting these emails from somebody and you're like, wait, who is this? Why am I getting this email? You know? So list building, you know, offering a free piece of content for in exchange for an email address, AKA a lead magnet, is always going to work well. Mistakes I see people make with lead magnets is they just sort of let them sit and they don't do anything with them. So always posting about them on social media, like having a dedicated landing page for that lead magnet and offering that as a, you know, kind of a PS in your social media posts, is a great way to build a list. Running ads to your lead magnet, again, really great way to build your list. And then also just, like I said, in a speaking gig, right? If you, anytime you're in front of your ideal audience, letting people know like, hey, I've got this really great piece of content that's going to help. Just go to this landing page, right? And submit your email address and you'll get it for free. Anytime you're in front of your ideal audience, mentioning it, right? Another thing people really enjoy are quizzes. People love a quiz. That's another great way to repackage your content. And then
using a quiz as a lead magnet is what you're saying.
Exactly. So like you might have an assessment that you already put your customers through or your clients through to qualify them as a lead. You can put that into a quiz and make, and, you know, package it up in a nice little, little bow so that people will find it really attractive. So it's really just, being conscientious of the types of ways you have people to opt in and talking about it all of the time. And it's just prioritizing it, you know, as part of your content strategy.
So speaking of talking about it all of the time, in a moment, we're going to actually tell people how to get your lead magnet. But first, let's see what I did there. So I want to understand, after somebody gets a lead magnet, right? I teach, you know, a very straightforward, simple system for, you know, how to then move people through the process once they're on the list. I'm curious to understand, you know, your perspective on, you deliver the lead magnet, then what happens?
Yeah. So this is a prime opportunity to nurture those leads. So again, another mistake I see people make is maybe they send an email that just confirm, you know, welcome to the list. Thank you for downloading the lead magnet. And then that's it. Like this is a, your subscribers are going to be incredibly engaged the earlier on they join the list. So having a series of emails, I typically recommend between 3 and 5 that nurture your subscribers and basically introduce them to your brand, who you are, what you do, how you help, the pain points you solve, all of that fun content, right? And dripping that over 5 emails so that they really get a clear picture of who you are and how you help.
And I imagine, you know, you talked about quizzes, you talked about, you know, some other forms of lead magnets. And, you know, sometimes if you're a retail business and you're selling stuff, a coupon could be a lead magnet.
Yes.
But many times lead magnets do have a function. They solve an immediate problem that prospect knows they have. And so I'm assuming that you need to kind of help either agitate that problem or guide them to the solution, the next step in your selling process as part of the onboarding. How do you like to deal with that?
Absolutely. So yeah, so that is definitely part of the welcome series. And again, like it depends on the business, you know, like you said, some people might have a discount code that you're just really pushing people to redeem.
Yeah.
But in, you know, more professional services world, it's definitely going to be dripping out, you know, here's what I know the common problems are with people that I talk to. And then here are solutions I offer. And here are testimonials of people I've also helped. So it's really focusing each email mm-hmm. on a specific area of that sales conversation and nurturing people to that, whatever the next step is with you. And again, including that on every email. Yeah. Here's how to become a customer when you're ready.
So here's a problem that I think a lot of businesses have, and some don't even know they have this problem. Right? So I started doing email marketing back in 1996. Now, 1996, people would, you know, have their dial-up modem, and they would get this little announcement when they dialed in, you've got mail, right? Yep. And everybody opened every freaking email that they got,
yep.
right? Mm-hmm. People don't open emails as much as they used to. I think if you look in the typical inbox, there's probably thousands of unopened emails sitting in there. Mm-hmm. And so I think businesses either are fully aware of this and don't know what to do about it, or they're not aware that this is a problem, and therefore they're not even aware that they need to do something about it.
Yeah.
What is the your perspective on getting emails delivered, opened, and I guess there's probably that additional metric which is even more important than opening, which is actually getting people to click and buy.
Right. Exactly. So. So two things. One is, open rates are not perfect to begin with, right? Data isn't perfect, right? It is defined, collected, and interpreted by humans. And so those open rates, a lot of times people really hyper-focus on those as the end-all be-all metric. But like you said, people aren't opening emails as much as they used to. So that can bring in a couple of things to note. One is, your opens do matter to the extent that it can impact your ability to end up in the inbox. So that is called your sender reputation, and part of it is measured by how engaged people are with your brand. So that means making sure you have a clean list. So if your folks are unengaging, or maybe they've never opened, clicked, or done anything with your email or other digital marketing, then it's time to start considering cleaning your list. And that's going to exponentially improve your open rates. Mm-hmm. It's also going to improve your ability to end up in the inbox. So that's number one. The second thing is, just because somebody opened an email doesn't mean they read it, doesn't mean they read all of it, mm-hmm. and doesn't mean they retained the information. So that actually provides a really great opportunity for you as a digital marketer, especially a small business one, because you're so strapped for time and resources anyway. You can recycle the same emails over and over and over again. This blows people's minds. They're like, what? And it's like, yeah, you can send, an email, the same email out, maybe a few days apart from each other, to let people know, hey, did you miss it the first time?
Yeah.
Right. And that gives you another opportunity, another chance for an open. Or you can recycle the same email you sent out 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. Because maybe you're having a busy week and you just can't put that content together in time, but you know you want to send an email out. People don't remember.
Yep.
People are not going to be like, excuse me, you sent out that email 3 months ago. How dare you? And if they do, then, they've got a lot of time on their hands.
So, yeah, I always... put somebody in the role of being, in the next in line at the grocery store, and you're just thumbing through your email on your phone, and then mm-hmm. Suddenly you're the next one up. And so you opened one up, you started to read it, and you put it back in your pocket, and you completely forget about it.
Exactly.
And as soon as the business owner who's complaining about, I can't possibly, do whatever it is I'm recommending to, I just use that scenario, and they're, oh, well, that makes sense. Okay. I can. Listen, we're out of time, but I know that people are probably interested, now that they've heard about this whole open rate issue, to know a little bit more about how they can get, more people opening their emails. And to that end, as I promised a few minutes ago, you actually have something for folks.
brilliant transition. It's almost like you're a marketer.
you found me out.
Yeah, so I have a free action guide called Revolutionize Your Open Rates that you can find at flourishgrit.com/open, and it covers a lot of what I already talked about, but also a subject line formula that I use all the time to help me write more impactful subject lines, and a bunch of other fun resources.
Excellent. Well, you can find that again at flourishgrit.com/open. I'll make sure to leave a link in the show notes as well. Emily McGuire, thank you so very much for joining me here. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yes, likewise. Thank you for having me.
Well, brilliant. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. I hope to have the privilege to see you back here again real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.